Time now for Mad Takes. All right, this is something that blew me away, and maybe this is something, one of those things that everybody knows that Mike Meltzer doesn't know. I went on a date recently, and the girl told me that she was divorced on the date, which is fine, like divorce, no kids. So it's really like it never happened.
If anything, she got it out of her system already.
Exactly, she got the divorce out. Yeah. So she was telling me that her ex-husband, he is an employee at a major airline company based in Houston. And so as part of this, she was obviously, I say obviously, she was part of that plan where like they can add two people. And they basically get unlimited flights
anywhere
domestically where you only have to pay the taxes. I didn't know this was actually a thing.
Wait, but...
But this is not the part that blew me away. It's more how she applied this, that she routinely would take flights from Houston to, like, Miami or San Francisco. And so if she has a friend in San Francisco, she would, on a day off, be like, hey, let me meet you for lunch on the wharf. Would wake up, go to the airport, fly to San Francisco, have lunch in the wharf, and then it came back.
Yeah.
For some reason, this totally blew me away.
You know why I blew you away? Because you must think I'm a liar or something. Because I told you the story about my roommate in college.
But did Bill Simmons say it?
Yeah. His parents worked for the airline. I can't remember which airline it was, but they were both like 40-year lifers. And this kid, I'm sure they don't do this anymore because the airline gave their kids the same thing. And he would do that. He would wake up in the morning and be like, oh, it's freezing in Ithaca. I'm going to skip classes today and like go to Miami.
Okay.
And he would do it. Nuts. It was so crazy.
Well, now that you mentioned that, now my memory is rejiggered.
Yeah. Okay. So it's a good perk. It's a really good. Now, she doesn't still get it, right?
She still gets it because the divorce
was
filed this year, and there are negotiations ongoing about whether she will keep this moving forward.
Well, how do they?
Great negotiation.
How does she negotiate? Does she have to negotiate with the airline?
Well, no, because I think basically
is he allowed to choose one person?
He can choose two people, whoever he wants.
Oh, that
whoever
would
he wants.
I would give up millions of dollars before I let her keep that. I'd be like, nope, you're not keeping that. That's like the one special thing that you will not have.
Just out of spite?
And then I'd call her a dirty whore.
the idea for some reason of someone taking a trip, having lunch in some far-flung city, coming back, for some reason just blew my mind.
And this is why I couldn't do it, because this is in my mind, it would be like she's going to be using that so she can save money on Eduardo, her hot young Latin lover, or something like that. You're like, no. You're not going to be living the lifestyle on my dime or my benefits for my company. I'd rather have her do it on my dime than on my like my special Secret Service VIP type thing.
That's interesting psychology right there.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense on any level.
It's
not rational whatsoever. It's very petty and vindictive. But what are you going to do?
Someone, by the way, asked a great question. Is her ex the 65-year-old millionaire Southwest executive who hit on you at the coffee shop? I don't think that's the case. Although I did tell her that story, and she, like you guys, was convinced that guy was hitting on me. Anyway, go ahead,
Paul. You gotta give yourself more credit, buddy. You're a young, successful guy. You look like you're going places.
I appreciate that.
Why would a 65-year-old billionaire not be hitting on you?
Fair enough. Yes.
Yeah, you should be complimented by anyone who hits on you. Could
Valid.
Be a man, could be a woman, could be a robot. Hey, DMX, he has found God, guys. And look, DMX, he has been in a lot of trouble over the last year. In July of 2017, he had 14 federal counts of tax fraud. I think he actually spent several months in jail. He was sentenced to a year in jail, but I think he got out early. Anyway, there is a video that was released of him as he was walking away from a hotel room party. And just listen to DMX, who, again, he has found the Lord.
God had his hand on me since before the womb. I didn't know what that meant until I read the Bible. All
right.
I didn't know what that meant until I read the Bible. He had his hand on me since before the womb. You think I started in the womb? He had his hand on me since before the womb. Like, oh, do this. You're going to make this happen. You're going to touch this person. You're going to touch these people. I am God's child. I am God's child. I am God's child. It hurts sometimes.
Good. Always a
it hurts man. Sometimes.
We family, man.
But it is what it is.
Run.
It is. It don't matter. It don't matter.
Run.
See
this?
Course,
run.
Yes.
You. Run. Let.
I am a warrior for the Lord. I'll come and kill you. You up in the name of Jesus.
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 I'm a warrior for the Lord.
Amen.
He made me a warrior before he made, before I took my first breath. I was a warrior.
Yes, sir.
He lost me with the
Now,
can we please stop that?
He's starting to sound a little bit like Ray Lewis in his post-jail career, I suppose. I'm talking about Ray Lewis, just the person who went from being an NFL player to becoming a charlatan carnival barker who just speaks in tongues.
Yeah.
DMX seems like he's well on his way to doing that. I love DMX's voice.
At first I thought he just found a biology textbook. It seemed like he didn't understand the concept of pregnancy or the womb until he also found the Lord. And then bleeping somebody up, I'd like to have one of our resident pastors who listens to the show say, like, what do you think about DMX saying, like, I will bleep you up in the name of the Lord? It's kind of like the Crusades. would there be instances? Would there not? I know in the large majority of time you're supposed to turn the cheek, but at what point, like, when is it acceptable for me to bleep somebody up in the name of the Lord?
We're still here!
Exactly.
I'd like to insert myself into those positions.
So DMX is basically showed up at a hotel party and ranted in this fashion.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
This classic DMX,
oh, he just
guys.
Showed up.
Cradle to the grave. X don't give it to you.
Most rappers would be good preachers. You know,
I could see
that's what Hammer does these days, right?
Does he?
Isn't he a preacher?
I could see that.
He's got a big ministry.
I'll just agree and assume that is indeed the case. We are live on Radio Row in Atlanta.
I'll read this directly from the big lead. In the latest twist to the simmering controversy from last Sunday's NFC Championship game, there's some concern in league circles about the NFL's judgment in allowing four officials who live in Southern California to work the game between the Rams and the Saints. League sources told ESPN, actually, not the big lead. I've thought about this a little bit, and now I'm starting to get it. Mike, it's no big deal. It really shouldn't be a big deal that these three guys are from L.A., but as one of our listeners said, it's the appearance of impropriety. Or it's the possibility that if something does go wrong, why even invite this kind of scrutiny? Like, the NFL should say, all right, if something were to go wrong, would it look good to have three guys from L.A. on this crew? No, it would not. So we need to have a policy where this doesn't invite speculation about stuff like this.
Here's my take, and I'm not trying to, like, to basically urinate all over this story.
Yeah.
But
oh, gross.
I know. But when I look at this, maybe I should have said that.
Keep it in your pants.
When I look at this, it's one thing if we were to have, let's say, okay, Clemson, Alabama in the national championship game, and we had a bunch of ACC officials or SEC officials, and one outnumbered the other. Then I would say, hey, this is an appearance of impropriety. But when I look at this, I just think that the notion of these officials being biased just because of where they're from, I mean, I don't mind buying into some conspiracy theories, but I look at this and I buy zero stock into this. Not 2%, not 10%, not 15%. I buy zero into this.
You know what?
Zero.
West Coast, home of Death Row Records.
Yeah, I feel like you'd be shark bait in L.A. If you got off the bus in West Hollywood, it would be like seconds before you snapped up by some sleazy producer promising you. Just because you'll believe any lie. You'll believe the NFL lie. They're like, oh, no, we don't want an L.A. team in the Super Bowl. That'd be crazy. All we'll do is just be sure that, you know, maybe three L.A. refs or officials are in charge of this game, and there'll be some kind of chicanery at the end.
I think part of my thinking is, okay, officials in the NFL, they make pretty good money. A lot of them have other jobs where they also make good money. And so if I'm looking at areas of the country, you'll probably have a bunch who are living in New York or Los Angeles, and so a lot of your pool will be from those kind of areas.
Right. So it seems like it would also be easy because you got a bunch of different areas to pull guys from those pools, too.
Possibly.
Instead of having three guys from L.A. Now, it's important to point out, though, too, that, For one, LA's only, like, I don't know how many LA Rams fans are actually even LA Rams fans.
That's what I'm
like, I have a hard time
about
thinking that these three officials would be like, hell yeah! Like, in the last 2 years, I've turned into a mega Rams fan.
Did you see the numbers for Rams Saints versus the numbers for Patriots Chiefs from conference championship weekend in Los Angeles? 2.1 million watched the Rams game, 2.5 million watched Patriots Chiefs. Die hard football town.
I mean, I guess.
Well, I guess what's the difference there?
More people watch the Patriots.
More people watch the Patriots Chiefs game than the Rams game in Los Angeles.
Yeah. I guess that just doesn't surprise me at all.
Well, I would defend that only by saying, and I'm not saying that LA is a
great football town.
In Los Angeles.
Oh, I got you.
Yes.
Okay.
I would only defend that by saying the team hasn't been back for that long. And I think if they have some sustain, like, it's not as though it's impossible for LA to have a good fan base. I think even though
but
I
they need to win first to, win. To Listen, establish themselves.
I hate them, but the Laker fans are, it's a good fan base as far as passion and interest go. So you need to have a team that stays and wins. There's always going to be some level of fair weather in a city like Los Angeles with all there is to do.
Well,
there.
I wonder what would have happened with the Titans if they hadn't gone to the Super Bowl so early. Because people were kind of mad about the Titans when they played that year in Memphis. And then Vanderbilt, nobody showed up. And I understand it's a temporary stadium at Vanderbilt, but nobody showed up at Vanderbilt either that year they were playing. They also were still called the Oilers, and there was a, but
everything came into place at once because they rebranded, and the same year they rebranded was the first year that they went on the run, and they had likable players in Steve McNair and Eddie George. I mean, the Rams are in a really good spot right now, and it is amazing of the two teams. Like I would say, between the Chargers and the Rams, like both of those are great options for LA teams, and the Rams have commanded the interest. The Chargers have brought nothing to the table, but I think that until they win in a spot like this, I don't know that everyone's going to go all in on the Los Angeles Rams.
I think there's one thing I've noticed now. When the NFL introduces a team to a new NFL city, it's gone pretty well. When the Panthers and the Jaguars both came into existence, both those teams playing in championship games within the first year, when the NFL reintroduces the Rams to Los Angeles after a decades-long absence, what happens? Immediate success. Interesting. Isn't it? Now, meanwhile, in Cleveland and Houston, not so immediate.
Yeah,
not
what about
all the
us?
Extra benefits.
What's going on here?
They're just kind of like, well, these guys have only, you know, they've been a couple years without a team.
Didn't the Browns even make the playoffs in, like, the second or third year of being back in Cleveland, too?
I thought it was
the
more
Kelly
like
Holcomb?
5 or 6 years
later. I think that took a few more years, but they did make the playoffs. Real quick, Rockets beat the Magic last night, 103-98. They trailed for most of this, came back and won. Harden had 40 points. Chris Paul made his return, played 25 minutes, 12 points, 6 assists, and 3 steals. He took 8 shots, he made 4. How convinced are you guys that Chris Paul will come back to being the same player he was in the playoffs?
Not at all, because I don't think he'll be here for the playoffs. I think he's going to get hurt again.
Oh, Paul, come on!
I mean, have we learned nothing from the Houston Texans' rampant hamstring injuries, and particularly just Kiki QT and his young, worn down by time and all that. I mean, we're looking at him, and he's having issues just staying on the field, staying healthy. Chris Paul is going to continue to bust his hamstring over and over and over and over again. I am to the point of, like, okay, he's healthy. I don't want him to play. I don't want him to play at all.
Just keep him on extreme.
Just want to just keep him on extended
limited,
rest.
Or just or limited minutes. Just really manage
ten,
his minutes.
Ten minutes a game.
Put him
That's
on the
it.
Nene plan.
The Nene plan.
Yeah, put him on the Nene.
I guess there's also.
I don't like, by the way, speaking of, like, mini Nene, Fareed. I enough on the broadcast with the manimal talk.
Too much?
Like, yes, it's too much. Like, every time he touches the ball, the manimal! I get it. It's a cool nickname and all.
Well,
stop it.
That broadcast would never overhype nicknames. I think that is a salacious take by you when it comes to the Rockets broadcast.
I'm happy with Fareed being here, though.
Of course.
I've always had a huge pants tent for the manimal.
Daryl Morey has had a way better in-season acquisition of players between Austin Rivers and Kenneth Fareed.
Really has been incredible.
Daniel House for a while. Their offseason was a mess. The in-season acquisition, you're like, oh, this really makes sense. This guy makes sense. That guy makes sense. They're fitting well together.
It makes sense, and it's also, though, I think it's a credit to Harden and D'Antoni that they're playing above and beyond what you expect to get, partly because they're playing in this free-flowing, fast system where James Harden is just driving everything. And you're getting – those guys can focus on – those guys can focus on the more minor things that they need to focus on to keep the whole process humming along. And yeah, that's why it's the vaguest thing in the world to say, but whenever it gets to the point in worrying about the Rockets where it turns into, well, you're going to have to see what Daryl Morey can do with some of these minor level moves, I'm like, oh, okay, well, we're cool. We'll figure it out. There's other teams out there that are just going to schmuck it around and not figure it out. Morey always delivers.
He has so far this season, in season. Coming up at 9:35, the dumbest thing I heard in the NFL this weekend. This completely blew me away. We will discuss in the meltdown. At the top of the hour, we will grade the unbearability of various Patriots chants and trademarks. Mad Radio, live on Radio Row, live on the Low T Center webcam at sportsradio610.com. Brought to you by the Low T Center.